All right, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 16. 2 Samuel, chapter 16. And we are going to begin at verse 5. 2 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 5. All right, and while you're turning there, David, if you remember, David has sinned. And when we get to 2 Samuel chapter 16, he is being run out. He's being run out of Jerusalem. That's what's happening here. Is he going to FaceTime it? Mm-hmm. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5. So David is being run out of Jerusalem, and he's very low. He's very low here. Absalom is now kind of taking over the area. He's running, and we get to chapter 16, verse 5. It says, "And when the king David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, and he came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial. And the Lord hath returned upon all the blood of the house of Saul in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom unto the hand of Absalom, thy son. Behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, of the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. The king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? Let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look upon mine affliction, that the Lord may requite me good for his cursing this day. And David and his men went by the way. Shimei went along the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for your word. Please, Lord, we ask that you'd open our hearts to it. Help us understand the message that you've given us today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, as we mentioned, you know, David, judgment has fallen on David. And as you remember, he is now being judged for what he's done. Now, God has forgiven his sin for what he had done with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. But there's an old passage here in Galatians chapter 6. I want to read it to you. Galatians chapter 6. And it says this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. And you probably know what it says. But it says, verse 7, I'm sorry, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. You know, David had sowed, and he's going to reap what he sowed. Now, God forgave him. God forgave him for what he did, but he's still going to reap for what he sowed. And, when we get to verse 5, I want you to notice here that Shimei comes out. And Shimei is of the house of David, a house of Saul. And notice Shimei is cursing David. He's cursing David. He keeps cursing David. And when you look now at verse 6, it says he cast stones at David. And all the servants of the king David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And this Shimei fellow is cursing David. as he's cursing David, David's mighty men are with him. These men are very, very mighty, very powerful warriors. But this Shimei fellow, he's cursing David. He's not worried about these other men. He's just cursing out. And notice what he says in verse 7. Thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. He's called him a bloody man. Now, remember, what did David do with Uriah the Hittite? What did he do? He had him killed. He was guilty. And then what did he call David at the end of verse 7? A man of Belial. What does Belial mean? The devil. He called him a man of the devil. Now, if you go back just a few chapters in your Bible, God warned that this would happen. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. When the Lord was dealing with David's sin, and Nathan the prophet confronted David. This is what the Lord told David. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, thus the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And notice that's what Shimei is doing. He's blaspheming. He's given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. That's what's going on here. So David, is all this is being fulfilled. Now, Abishai, notice in verse 9. Come back to 2 Samuel 69. Abishai sees this. You'll notice in verse 9, you notice what he does. This is what he says. Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take his head off. Now, Abishai, he's a man of action. And he said, I can't stand to listen to this any longer. Let me go over there and take his head off. I can shut this up. I can stop this. We don't have to put up with this. Let me end this right now. So he wants to go over and notice what he calls him. He calls him a dead dog. And what's interesting about this being called a dead dog, that is exactly what David called himself in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 14. That is the exact terminology that David referred to himself when he was talking to Saul. When Saul was trying to kill him in 1 Samuel 24, verse 14, David said the same thing about himself. He said to Saul, after whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom does he pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my case and deliver me out of thine hand. David called himself a dead dog. And being called a dog is not a flattering term, by the way. When you go over here back to Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, I also want to share with you real fast. Revelation 22, 14. At the very end of the Bible, notice what it says about dogs. Revelation 22, 14. It says, blessed are they which do have that do his commandments, and they that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Notice without the city, the first thing it lists are dogs. It's calling a people a type of dogs. Okay, so notice David's response to having this man's head cut off. Okay, this man's cursing David. He's cursing David. Here's David's response in verse 10. The king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? David said to Abishai, and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more may this Benjaminite do it? Let him alone, let him curse. For the Lord hath bidden him. And it may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord may requite my good for his cursing this day. And David and his men went by the way. Shimei went along the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. You know, David's very low. And you know, David, after all he's done, and after all the sins he committed, he didn't feel like avenging himself. He didn't feel like getting back at him. You notice the humility in David's heart here. He's very humble here. David, in meekness, turns the other cheek. He had the ability and the authority to have this man killed, but he didn't. He rides on. Him and all this group of warriors and soldiers, they just keep on going. And Shimei is on the side over here. And notice what Shimei is doing. As they pass by, notice what it says about Shimei. Shimei just keeps letting them have it. He never lets up. He never slows down. And no, the Bible says as these men just keep on going, Shimei just, he just tearing into them. The Bible says three things he's doing. He's cursing them, he's throwing stones, and he's casting dust. This guy is just going nuts, letting David have it. He just never stops. And as they ride off, they look back and there's Shimei. He just giving it to them, cursing David the whole time, just making a big scene there as they leave. You think that's something that would be etched in your mind if you was David? Absolutely. You know, David at his lowest point in his life, one of the lowest times of his life here, here's Shimei just cursing him. Well, Absalom is going to die. The man that ran him out of town, his son. Absalom's going to die. And when Absalom dies, in fact, when Absalom dies, it's one of the saddest things you'll see in David's life. In fact, if you look at 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 33, that last verse, you see David's sin is coming around to him still, what he did. And you see David mourn over his son. And you look at this verse, one of the saddest verses in all your Bible. When David finds out that Absalom died, it says, "And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept, and as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son." How tender of words was that? How sad of a verse is verse 33, as David mourns for the death of his son. Chapter 19, David is reinstated as king. He is king now back in Israel. And as he becomes king again, guess who is one of the first people to make an appearance before the king? Oh, Shimei comes back. Remember the guy that cursed you, David? Remember the guy that was so mad at you and was calling you all those names? He's got a whole different attitude now, David. Now that you're in power and you're not running for your life, Shimei's got a whole different tone. And let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 19 and look at verse 18. "And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan." Now, the last time we saw Shimei, what was he doing? Do you remember what he was doing? He was doing three things. He was cursing, throwing stones, and casting dust. Those are three things he was doing. It's the last time David laid eyes on him, that's what he was doing. Now David sees him. What does he do when he sees David? He falls down before him. Whole different attitude. And notice, he's not cursed now. He's not throwing stones and he's not casting dust. And I want you to notice his plea in verses 18 through 20. "And he said unto the king, Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me." Now that word impute means to charge. Don't charge iniquity unto me. I love what he says here. "Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely in the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I have come to this first day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king." See, notice what he said here. He admitted something. He said, first of all, he said, "Please don't charge what I did to you that day to my account. Don't hold that against me." And then he said this, "I know what I did. I did it perversely, which means I know that I did it, what I did was wrong. And then he says this in verse 19. I love what he says. The very end of verse 19, that the king should take it to heart. King, don't take it personal. You know, don't let that offend you. Don't take it personally that I did that. Who wouldn't take that personally? You know, this guy is just cursing and screaming at you over, just keeps going and keeps going. But King, don't take it personal. I didn't mean nothing by it. Don't be offended. Don't let it bother you that I did that. Kind of a crazy request here. Okay, well, he gets done talking, verse 21, Abishai, the same guy earlier that said, let me take his head off. When he sees this guy, guess what he wants to do again? He wants to cut his head off again. Yeah, but Abishai, the son of Zerah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this? Because he cursed the Lord's anointed? See, he didn't forget it. He's still mad. He said, let me take his head off. You know, we should have killed him earlier. Now he's back again. You know, and you know, you could tell Abishai, he thought about it. He said, this guy, he cursed the Lord's anointed. How dare he? Who does this guy think he is? He said, we need to put this guy to death. But David, in verse 22, said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? That ye should do this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there be any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do I not know that I am this day king over Israel? Now I want you to notice what David says here. Very interesting what he says in verse 23. Therefore, the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die. And the king swear unto him. Okay, now, David's response was this. No one's going to die today. And he told Shimei, you're not going to die. No one's going to die today. Thou shalt not die, and you're not going to die today. Because that's what he said. Did David say, I forgive you for what you did? Did David say that? He didn't, did he? He didn't forgive him, that I can see here. But he did say, you're not going to die today. Okay. Now I want you to show something here. It looks like David forgave him. But what you see here in this picture is an imperfect forgiveness at best. At very best, it's an imperfect forgiveness. And as we look at this story, I'm very thankful this is not how God deals with us. Okay. David's going to get older. As he gets older, it's time for Solomon to become king. And now, right before David dies, he's going to have a word with his son. And let's go to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. And I want you to see what I find is to show you how this weighed on David. What Shimei did. The last thing before you die, what's the last thing you want to tell your son before you die? I love you. Not David. Not the last thing David told his son. You know what the last thing David told his son was? Remember Shimei? You take care of him. And he does. Let me show you. That's exactly what happened. So, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 8. Behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went out of Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoar head, which means gray, his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. What's the last thing David is recorded saying to his son? Before he dies, he says, take care of Shimei. You be sure to take care of him. Then he dies. Do you think it bothered David what Shimei did to him? Did David truly forgive Shimei? No, he didn't. He didn't truly forgive him. That's the last thing he ever did. Let me tell you what David did. David said, Shimei, I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to judge you. And here's what David did. David passed judgment to his son. And David let his son judge Shimei. Right? That's what he's done. He's let his son judge Shimei. Solomon is going to become king now. Now let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2 while you're here. Look at verse 36. The king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build thee a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. For it shall be that the day thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thy own head. And Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good as my lord the king hath said. So will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. Here's what Solomon did. Solomon said, listen, Shimei, he just told him this. He just called him up to one day and said, you're going to build a house in Jerusalem and you're going to stay there. And you're not going to leave that city. And if you ever go out past the brook Kidron, there's a brook there. If you ever go out past that brook, thou shalt surely die. And he says, your blood will be on your own head. Solomon extended a tad bit of mercy to Shimei. Verse 39, and it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away to Achish, the son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. And Shimei rose and saddled his ass and went to Gath to Achish. And he sent his servants, and Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protest unto thee, saying, know for certain on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad any whither that thou shalt surely die? Thou hast said unto me, the word that I have heard is good. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with? The king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, and that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. What happened to Shimei? He got greedy. He lost his servants. He wanted to get that money back those servants were worth. So he went over the brook to get them. And when Solomon found out about it, I think Solomon knew Shimei wouldn't stay. What did he do? He had him killed, didn't he? Solomon brought judgment against Shimei and had him killed. Now, this morning, we talked about substitution. What happened with Shimei was that Shimei had sinned. David never forgave his sin. David never forgave his sin. And his sin was carried over where the son was going to judge the sin. And the son did judge the sin. And Shimei paid for his own sin. This morning when we talked about substitution, what's so great about what Jesus did for us is this. That when you and I sinned, and we put our faith and trust in Jesus, Jesus took our place on the cross. He took our place. He faced the wrath of God. God took our sins and he put it on his son. Jesus paid for our sins. Our sins were dealt with. Okay? So you think about in this story, you and I are like Shimei. We're a lot like Shimei, whereas as David is like a picture of God, you and I are like Shimei. We are the ones cursing. We're the ones that are always doing wrong. We're the ones that are messing up. And instead of destroying us, God is merciful to us. He could have brought judgment on us the first time we sinned, but God is very merciful to us. Lamentations 3:22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." But just like David, what does the Lord do? The Lord, the Father, passes all judgment over to his Son. In John chapter 5, verse 22, listen to what Jesus said. John 5:22. Let me flip over here real quick. The Bible says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Just like David passed judgment to his Son, God the Father has passed all judgment to his Son. And also in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So that's what the Lord has done. So just like in the story we just read today, nobody ever dealt with Shimei's sin. Shimei had to pay for his own sin. But in our case, Jesus paid for our sin for us. So our sin has been forgiven. Now, I want to look at a passage over here in Romans. In Romans chapter 4. And I love this passage. Romans chapter 4. Let me flip over here. Romans 4. And beginning at verse 2. The Bible says this: "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Okay, the Bible's telling you, Abraham was made right with God, not because he worked it, but because he had faith. He trusted God. He believed what God said. He put his faith and trust in God's word. Now, verse 4, "To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man of whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." That's what we want. We want God to forgive our sins, to wash our sins away, not charge us with sins. And that's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. His blood satisfied God's wrath. His blood washes away our sins, and it makes us clean before God. But we stand before God clean and justified. Now, there's a couple more passages I want to show you, and we'll be done tonight. Or there's actually a few more, but 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, that we talked about that word imputation. Where Shimei said he didn't want iniquity imputed to him or charged to him. Here you have double imputation. There's a double imputation here in verse 21. There's a double charging. And I want you to see this in verse 21. A double charging. Here's this double charging. Double imputation. Verse 21. "For he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God." See, our sins are charged to Jesus. He got charged with our sins. And notice that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God took our sins and put them on Jesus. Jesus, who knew no sin, God took his righteousness and put it on us. So even though you and I are sinners, God took his righteousness and put it on us. So then when God looks down on us and sees us, he sees the righteousness of Christ, And all of our sin were placed on Jesus, and he paid for our sins on the cross. There's a double imputation there. There's a double transfer that only God can do. And another verse that shows us this is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Let me flip over here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. I'm just going to start at verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away. But the word of the Lord... I think I'm in the wrong verse. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong... You know, when you're in the wrong chapter, what a difference that makes when you're trying to make a point. Let me go to chapter 2 here. Chapter 2, verse 21. For herein were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, whose by stripes ye were healed. For ye are as sheep going astray, but now ye are returned unto the shepherd and bishops of your souls. There you see that. He bore our sins, and now we live unto righteousness. There's that double trading. Now here's what I love about what God has done for you and I. Because you and I have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that we've called on him to save us, and we've put our faith in Christ, and we've asked him to forgive our sins and save us, I want to show you what God has done with our sins. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean about what God has done with our sins? They're gone. He'll remember them no more. Let's get a double witness on that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. Really close. Hebrews 10, 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You know, you ought to go to bed at night and have a good night's rest, knowing that God has washed all your sins away and he's forgotten them. He's forgotten them. They're gone. Jeremiah 31, 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. You don't have to turn there, but Isaiah 38, 17, you could jot this down. Isaiah 38, 17, God says he'll cast our sins behind his back. Isaiah 43, 25, Isaiah 44, 22 says he'll blot them out. And I'm going to close with this last verse. This will be the last verse I'm going to read, and we'll be done tonight. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. And Micah is one of those books that's easier to find if you just start at Matthew and go backwards. You'll have Malachi, and you start going backwards, Zechariah. And just go backwards there, and you'll find Micah. Habakkuk, Nahum, then it's Micah. Micah 7, 18. I love this verse. And it's one of those verses, you know, you can underline. Verse 19 there. He will turn again. This is Micah 7, 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and he will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. He will cast into the depths of the sea. And I don't know if you know this or not, but that's pretty deep. That's pretty deep.